Welcome back to the Casey Cowers Show, a celebration of words. I'm Chuck Atkins, the show's producer. In the interview you're about to hear, Casey talks with Mr. Foote about the classic film To Kill a Mockingbird, of which he wrote the screenplay in 1962, earning him his first Academy Award. So relax, sit back and listen to one of our country's finest writers tell his story.
Welcome back to Casey Cowers, a celebration of words. Our guest today is Mr. Horton Foote, and we've been discussing some of Mr. Foote's plays. Some of them have been turned into movies, and I wouldn't be doing justice to our listeners if we didn't talk about To Kill a Mockingbird for a moment. And one of the things that you won the Academy Award for the screenplay, and one of the things that's always intrigued me is the relationship with Harper Lee when you wrote that. Was there much collaboration there?
No. She just told me that. I'd only met her once. They had sent me the book, and I hadn't. I was working or wanted to work on something of my own, and I really wasn't interested in adapting anything. But I knew the director, Bob Mulligan, and Alan Cool, the producer, they were close friends of mine. So my wife read it, and she said, "Listen, you better get up there and read that book." So I did, and I did like it a lot. And I called them and said I would be happy to do it. And they said, "Well, you're our choice." Harper didn't want to do it, and they said, "But I think, in all fairness to both of you, you should meet and see if you get along." And Alan brought her. I was living in New York at the time, and Alan brought her. And over, and you know, just like we became cousins, you know. I mean, her town could have been my town, and my town could have been her town. And she, at the end of the evening, she said, "You know, I don't want to see you again until you do it. Go ahead, go to it." So that's what happened.
Good.
And I think the thing that, as I'm thinking back about it, the thing that helped me, because the novel is very sprawling, as novels
yes.
should be.
Yes.
And it takes place over 3 years.
Yes.
And, well, that was a problem for me right away. And then I really couldn't find a way to get into the material. And there was a wonderful critic called R.P. Blackmore.
Okay.
It was a so-called high Tony critic, you know. I mean, he was up in the stratosphere, and didn't like a whole lot of things, and certainly not wasn't known to champion popular fiction. But he wrote an almost an essay review of the novel, and the headline was "Scout in the Wilderness," and I compared it to Huckleberry Finn.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that opened a lock to me, but it did, because I loved Huckleberry Finn. And,
yes.
And then Alan Pakula suggested that it would be interesting to try to make it one year rather than 3 years, spring, winter, summer, fall. And that freed me, too, to kind of take on the architecture of the novel. And so I reread it after many years, and they were talking to me about doing it as a play, which I didn't think it should be done, didn't really want to do it, but I was really reading it again to see if I had been foolish. And I've forgotten there's some wonderful things in it that we didn't even tempt. I think the character of Attica's sister is a wonderful character, but I didn't really know how then or now to fuse it into the sense of the structure we had. So I thought, leave well enough alone.
Yeah, it seems like there's certain things that if you do something to close to perfection, then why
don't fully
tempt with why tempt fate, yes.
Yeah.
I read in an interview I believe you did that that during the filming of To Kill a Mockingbird that Gregory Peck, were there some changes that that someone wanted to make to either some of the plot or some of the events that Gregory Peck objected to?
I have no sense. I have no knowledge of that.
Okay.
It might be true, but
okay.
And he was such a gentleman, he wouldn't burden me with that. I mean, if he didn't agree. He guarded it like a the truth of the matter is that he saved the film.
Gregory Peck did?
Yes, he did, because first of all, the studios were very nervous about it.
Oh, really?
And I think if they hadn't gotten a star of his commercial power at that time, they probably wouldn't have ever greenlighted this project.
Were they nervous because of the racial overtone?
I don't know what makes studios nervous. God knows.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, that's how they are.
Okay.
And you know, at the time, Gregory was a well-known leading man,
yeah.
And to take on this part was a real risk for him.
Yes.
Put on glasses and, you know. But, and then the other thing that really saved it was, and I don't know why he did this or what intuition made him do it, but in the contract Universal had with Bob and Alan, Gregory wouldn't insisted on their getting the final cut.
Okay.
And they didn't like the film very much. This is, I'm sure nobody at Universal now would admit that, because it's a whole new regime, so it had nothing to do with who they are now.
Yeah.
But they hated the film.
No kidding.
And they wanted to cut it 10 different ways. And they couldn't.
They wanted to cut the final? The final cut they wanted to.
Yeah.
Isn't that a frightening thought? But Gregory Peck had it in his contract to do
he
that.
Didn't touch it.
Thank God for that.
Now, he didn't give the power to himself.
Huh?
He gave it to the, and they were very young men at the time.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, he gave it to them.
Gave it to them. Okay.
So it was remarkable.
Yeah. I think that's one of the finest film roles. Atticus Finch, to me, is one of the most outstanding characters.
Mm.
If everybody acted like Atticus Finch acted, wouldn't it be a beautiful world to live in?
I think so.
The Man from Atlanta, which you won the Pulitzer Prize. The Young Man from Atlanta, which you won the Pulitzer Prize for. I remember talking to you, or when you gave your talk at the Sewanee Writers Conference about winning the Pulitzer Prize for that. What plays have you been working on since that play?
Oh, Lord.
I know you've had one recently produced.
Yeah. Oh, I've had a lot produced since then.
What are the ones you're most happy with?
I like them all.
You like them all.
It's like your children. You wouldn't dare say I like this one better than the other one.
Yeah.
The last three plays I've done, I'm very proud of them. I had The Last of the Thorntons. Well, first of all, I had a remarkable thing happen to me, and I wish it could happen to all playwrights. There's this wonderful theater called the Signature Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And when they took me on, they had done Romulus, Lydia,
yes.
For a season, and then they'd done Lee Blessing. And then Edward Albee.
Okay.
And then I came along. And they weren't in their theater. They were really in a studio of some kind way over on the east side of the place. And it was seemed at first kind of primitive, but they did extraordinary work. And that's where Young Man from Atlanta was done.
Okay.
And the Broadway production came after that.
Okay.
And it was amazing to me that, because it was a year of, I think, that was a year that David Mamet had a play of his that I liked very much. And I can't remember the title of it, but it was about a little boy. And whose parents had been divorced. And it was very moving to me. Mm-hmm. And then Terrence McNally had a play which at the time was about homosexuality and was considered very daring, and had gotten a big response. So how they found this little production down here, I don't never know. This little guy from Chicago flew in to see it, and Frank Rich, who later became a friend of mine, was one of the judges that year.
Okay.
And he told me a little bit about how it all happened. I think Clive Barnes was another one. They really only recommend, and how the final committee is, I think, newspaper men or something.
Okay.
And so it's puzzling how they choose, but anyway, they often choose things that come out of the way. But it was that season that reaffirmed, I've always been passionate about theater, but reaffirmed my how much it means to me and how much I love it. And I don't do many films. And I really am much happier even in a small off-Broadway theater than any place else.
Would it be safe to say that a lot of times you did your films so that you could write your plays and produce your
Yes.
plays?
Yes. Yes, that's right. So anyway, that was an enormous boost. They did four of my plays that year in 1 year.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to be able to see that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them had been done before, and then A Young Man from Atlanta had never been produced, and then I wrote another one that had never been done. And Signature, when they hit the 10th anniversary season, they asked each of us to write a play who had been done in the other.
Okay.
And Arthur Millen, by that time, had been done. Sam Shepard had been done. Romulus, or whoever had the other season, did a play. And that's a play that I wrote a play for them called The Last of the Thornies.
Okay.
And that, if it's of interest to you, the genesis of that's kind of interesting because the Alley Theater had called and said, we'd like to commission you to do a work. And I said, well, let's talk about it. And we talked. And I said, I've always kind of wanted to do a kind of version of The Three Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Boyd, who's a very daring young man, I'm not so young now, but a daring man.
Daring, yes.
Was all for it. But they had a problem with the contracts. And but it took a long while. In the meantime, I kind of forgot it.
Okay.
And then Signature called me about their 10th season and whatnot. So I said, well, yes, I'm on this play, and I have no contractual thing with the Alley. So I wrote this play, The Last of the Thornies, which they did. With my daughter and Estella Parsons.
Oh, okay.
And it was wonderful. I thought, I mean, the production at least, and I think I have the play too. And but it was about three sisters, but two of them were dead before the play started.
Oh, okay.
So then, the Alley called back and said, we won't propose our play. So I said, well, I'm working on it right now. And so I wrote a play called The Carpetbagger's Children, which they did in connection with, they co-sponsored it with the Hartford Playhouse, which has done a lot of that plays.
Okay.
Michael Wilson was the director. And here again, it was about, there were three sisters. Really, four sisters. One was dead, and three were alive in the play. So I don't know how Chekhov got into all this, but somehow he started rethinking about sisters.
Yeah, you can't go wrong when you're thinking of Chekhov.
No,
I don't think anyway.
I don't think so. So that play was started out. We rehearsed it in Hartford. We opened at the Alley, and then we went to the Guthrie, and then we went to Hartford, where we had started rehearsing it.
Okay.
And then 9/11 took place, and I thought that's the end of the play.
Yeah.
But it had an audience, and for 2 days, of course, nobody came near the theater. Nobody wanted to.
Yes.
Then for some reason, and he said that they'd heard about it in New York, and Andre Bishop, and here's how life goes. He said he was so devastated by 9/11,
yes,
he thought, I don't care if I ever do a play again. But something kept telling him to come to Hartford and see this play. And that whatever that was won out, and he came to see the play. And he only had the time, because they had booked the whole season. He only had, he could give us, in that time we were starting to do Sunday and Monday's performance.
Okay.
And they could, and we were willing to accept it. I don't know how happy the actors were about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, a play he was counting on didn't work out. So we had an open slot. So we came into New York for that. And at the Lincoln Center.
Beautiful. So you never know how it's going to work out, do you?
No.
And we might add that your daughter is a playwright.
Yeah, Daisy.
Daisy, yes.
And my other daughter has done about 15 of my plays.
Yes.
Hallie,
yes. Very fine actress.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Mr. Foote, thank you for your generous time today. And more importantly, thank you for all of the joy and all of the just the richness that you have added to the American theater with the writing that you have done. And I wish you continued success and hope you continue to write the fine plays that you write.
We hope you've enjoyed this two-part interview with Horton Foote. Please join us next week when we do a special show on women poets from the Vietnam War. It's not something you'll want to miss. This is Chuck Atkins, and I'd like to thank you for listening and visiting our website. Come back often, bookmark our site, and tell a friend.